Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Helen and Cherry Brown, I am just called you to say I'm on the way. I am on the way, and I can't wait to see you and Jack. And Jack, double the Jacks, but I just found a cafe that serves salt beef. Beef! Helen, salt beef in a sandwich with gherkins and mustard. It's incredible. I thought I would eat and walk, but then I remembered I am got several policy. So you talk to Jack and Jack. I'm gonna sit here, finish my lovely sandwich, and I'll be there in between 30 and 40 minutes. Okay, see you later. Bye bye.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show. Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
How fucking insane was that? We actually went for the same note.
And we're not even touching each other.
That's mad. Do you want to do it again, but like pick a different note in your head and see what happens?
No, let's leave it. Helen,
hey Jack, do you want to play a great game?
Helen. That was something. But I was like clapping. I was like, "Can I get involved with this?"
No.
No. No. Stay out of it.
This is what you get when you're in season four. With just a look at each other and go, "You're on that note, and I will join you."
I reckon that we're like so synced up now that we could like guess the same number.
Yeah.
So like if you were right, let's both think of a number between 1 and 100 and then we say it on 3. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
48.
What, you said 3?
Yeah, because I said it on 3.
Oh, I see.
I thought that was like, I put in the words what I was going to say.
Can I say something to you, Helen?
Yes.
You look lovely.
The fact I'm wearing a low-cut top again. Is this what this is? I'm wearing a low-cut top, dear listener.
No.
And for some reason, whenever I wear a low-cut top, Rosie all of a sudden is like, "Oh my God, you're glowing today. You look so beautiful. Oh my God, have you got like, what, you change your skincare routine?" And it's like, no, my breasts are out. Like, literally, there. You happy now?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're really out now.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Anything,
no,
honestly.
Honestly, I came in and now I say, "You look lovely," because it's a colour, it's a sleeve.
It's very autumnal, isn't it?
It's very autumnal, cut. Very beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
She looks lovely.
But I'm trying to be more seasonal because I've watched a lot of Zoella recently and she's so nice.
She's still good.
Yeah, she's still big.
Yeah, she's she's big for me. She's still like going, but she's so twee and her life is so perfect, and I want to get a little bit more like that. Do you know what I mean?
And one of her things is dressing for the season.
She dresses seasonally and she's like, I just can't wait to get like my autumnal clothes out. And I'm like, that sounds so good. I want to get my autumnal clothes out.
Look,
yeah, you do look autumnal.
I know, but you look autumnal, but you look like accidentally autumnal. Like no one, you didn't wake up this morning and went like, season's changing, I want to wear this with a pumpkin spice latte post. No, you fucking lie to me one more fucking time in front of our guests.
Honestly, I thought it's autumnal. I wear a little collar. I look sexy.
I believe her.
Welcome to our guest today, it's Jack Barry.
Jack Barry!
It's really 48. Just the two of us sort of thing.
Oh, I just want to be involved.
Welcome, Jack! Honestly, so good to have you here. Thank you so
Hello,
much for coming.
Jack.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm great. I was saying to you before, I'm just so pleased to be out of the house.
Yeah.
I haven't been invited to it. It's a weird time. I don't know. I was thinking on the way here, it's like a weird time to talk about working in entertainment.
Yeah.
Because the government keeps telling me to get a different job.
Yeah.
And so, like...
Just to be clear, we don't want to hear about you working in entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good.
Like, we couldn't give a shit about you being the face of McCoy's.
Okay, good. I'm here to talk about my new career in cyber security.
Yeah.
So
you would not make it in cyber security. Don't even... Granted, there are some comedians out there who could retrain and be absolutely amazing whatever job they do.
But not me.
This room is not a room of adaptable people.
I literally couldn't do anything else.
See, actually, I think you could because your organisation admin skills are really good. So I think you could.
No.
That's not what she wants to hear.
I think I'd be a midwife.
You'd be a midwife? Yeah. My sister's a midwife.
Really?
Yeah.
Can she train Helen?
I'm sure she could give it a go. I'd love to see that, actually. That's a TV show I'd watch.
Me training to be a midwife.
With my sister.
You couldn't train to be a midwife.
Why? Shut your face. Yes, I can.
Because you go in and be like, yeah, you're in labour, but look at me. Look at my vagina.
Yeah, you'd be like, look at my tits. And then. And then everyone would be distracted. Yeah.
Well, yes, but also I feel like a distraction at that time wouldn't hurt.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you'd be like, but can we talk about me?
You know what? However much I would like to talk about me, at the end of the day, it's about our guest, and we'd like to talk about you. Segway alert!
What's happening? So, me and Helen heard a rumour that you were once a child.
Ah, you're not wrong.
Literally, it was in the sun. It was crazy.
Yeah, really?
Mm.
Well, this is the first bit of showbiz gossip that's ever been about me, so I'm glad that someone... I'm glad to be talked about, really.
Yeah.
It's good to be in people's minds.
Take us back.
Tell you what happened.
So, as a child, did you crave the attention?
I think, definitely a bit. But I wasn't like the guy at school who was like doing the school play and stuff like that. I think I was quite a dull child.
Yeah,
and
then, that doesn't surprise.
Yeah.
Rosie, that's so unkind.
Dull child to a dull adult. I started life in Guildford and then I moved abroad. And I think being abroad made me interesting. So in the years before that, when I just lived in Guildford, I was just quite a dull boy. But I definitely tried.
But did you grow up in China, wasn't it?
I grew up in China, yeah. I moved to Shanghai, yeah.
And how old?
I was 12 when we moved to Shanghai. And I think that was definitely, the sort of formative bit of my life that sort of made me... made me interesting.
But it does.
I don't know. I think that's definitely it.
It gives you your thing.
You need a thing.
Yeah.
You need a thing. Otherwise, for me, I think it was definitely going. And also... It wasn't just that I became a performer. It was like I had to I moved school like every 2 years when I was a kid. So I always had to make new friends.
Yeah.
And so that definitely made me like not want to be the centre of attention, but just need to like get good at talking to people and being interesting.
So did you find every new school you went to, did you get better at it?
Yeah, exactly. You sort of get like a feel for, okay, well, I know how to find the right people now. And I've got my like intro jokes.
Yeah.
And I know
please tell me you remember one of your intro jokes.
I mostly just remember how bad I was at it before. Like when I first moved to China, I went to my new school and I identified quickly who the guys were who I wanted to be friends with, and I just followed them around for like a week. Like when it was like break time, I would just follow them and I genuinely didn't know what to say. And
I do that with people I fancy now. I'd be there for them.
And I'd just be there and they'd be sort of walking down the, and I'd hear them be like, that new kid's like, he's still here, like he's following us. And like in the end they were like, do you want to hang out? And I was like, yes, please. Yes, thank you. And then I was in. But and so after that, I got better at it. But around 12, I was still so awkward that like...
It's so difficult because how long can that phase last that you can just be standing in people's eyeline?
I know. Thank God that they allowed me. Like, if they were cruel, they really could have just tortured me for two years of just me hanging around like, please.
Imagine it, people. Still doing it.
Yeah.
Now, following them to the pool.
Yeah. Guys, we're all going hanging out for Christmas, are we? Yeah.
What's so pleasing is next time we go together, Jack, I will be looking out for you, just like standing looking at a comedian.
I was weirdly having flashbacks to it just now because it's like, being a comedian, you just sort of go and hang out in green rooms with people.
Yeah.
And when I first started out, I was too nervous to strike up conversation. Yeah. So I would do the same thing. You just sort of sit there and hope that someone would talk to you.
Yeah.
And,
hey, that moment where you probably come in the room too late, so two people are deep in comfort.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, do I ignore him or do you go,
and sort of leap in.
Yeah,
I don't know. You sit there awkwardly on your phone and hope that one of them will bring you in later. I used to say this was like my most awkward thing is even when you're already in a conversation with people, you know, like when you're chatting like as two groups of people.
Yeah.
If you're chatting in like a group of four and then you split off into two one-on-one conversations.
Yeah.
And then your conversation runs out of stuff before the other one. And so then your one just kind of goes quiet and then you just watch the other one, like hoping for an in. Yeah. That was like, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And I still do that all the time where you're just like watching, like, we're done with our one, so can we come in?
I thought with your childhood moving school over 2 years, you'd be so adept at like making new friends. But it sounds like your method was just
I'm terrible.
There.
Yeah, I just hang around. It's like a bad smell until someone goes, can you smell that? And then I was in.
Oh, man.
I was like, at school, like, I was never, like, in the school play or anything like that.
Is that because you didn't audition or just because you weren't interested in performing?
I auditioned for one when I was a teenager and it was the boyfriend. They did it at my school, which
the
is...
The boyfriend?
It's like a classic, like, crap musical that all schools do it. And I couldn't
sing. I don't think
they
do because we've been doing this for four seasons and we haven't heard
You never
it.
Heard of the boyfriend?
Isn't they Twiggy did it, in it, maybe?
They did two different... They did it at two different schools of mine. I don't know who it's by. It's like some weird like Edwardian thing and it's like...
When did
I
you go to
it's like
school?
Tennis.
1800?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I should have mentioned I'm a vampire. But like, when I was at like a primary school, I was like always like in the tech crew. Yeah. I thought that was like the cool thing. So I was like a techie when we did primary school.
Why are you looking at me like I'm supposed to be like, oh, that's really cool?
Yeah, I was just looking for anything, please. But like, I thought it was cool because we all used to wear black and we'd hang out at the back with like the lights and we'd shine the...
And I remember... Primary school had a spotlight?
Yeah, genuinely, We had like one spotlight at the back.
Fucking Guildford
on, like,
Grammar School.
Yeah. It was a Church of England school in Tilford.
Oh, I know Tilford.
Do you know
pretty.
Tilford?
Yeah.
Waverley Abbey? Heard
well, I'm
it?
From Fleet, yeah. So
yeah, I know. You're not far away.
I'm from Fleet.
You are being bitchy today. You are being so fucking bitchy today. And I don't know where it's coming from, but you have been so fucking nasty to me.
Because I literally
You're showing off to our guests. You're showing off to our guests.
And said, you look nice.
That's true.
Then you looked at my breasts and then we spoke about masturbation and then you went to the toilet for 5 minutes and you came back smiling. Do you want to discuss that? No, we'll say sorry to our guest and let's move on.
You told me to masturbate.
To ease your pain because you're on your period. And it does help. It's a really, it's a common thing and she didn't know about that. But if you wank or have an orgasm on your period, it sort of like helps with the contractions.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my life, it's true.
I did not know that.
Because I'm a trained midwife. Ask your sister.
Yeah.
She'll know.
Yeah. Shona,
I
bet she wants all the time.
Rosie, I have a question.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well.
Okay. We are interested in this attention-seeking background we've got so far. Yeah. At the moment, I do believe you are an attention seeker. I'm not fully convinced on your making friends method.
Yeah.
Would you say you were an attention seeker more at home if you're moving every 2 years, probably closer to your family?
Yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
You've got a sister. Any other siblings?
No, just my sister, just a younger sister.
Would you compete with her?
Yeah, kind of. She was like, no, she would sort of bully me, actually, I think. Okay. Yeah. She's the younger sister, but she like, I was just sort of... She would sort of see how much she could get away with by like annoying me.
Great.
I never even realized. She only told me this recently, like a couple of years ago. She was like, you know, like when we were kids and I would like torture you and like see if I could break you. And then you would sort of scream at me and you'd get in trouble. And I was like, no, what do you mean? That? And she was like, yeah, that's what I used to do.
What like, do you mean torture, like water torture?
She just like sort of needle at me and sort of like, and like sort of like criticize me. And then I'd be like, oh, you're such a bitch. And then I'd get in trouble for saying bitch or something like that.
Yeah.
And then,
also, that's quite a weird dynamic because you think the older brother will bully her, but...
No, it was the other way around.
We're only beginning right now, but Jack, you're coming across as really weedy.
Yeah, I think so. I was wondering how that's going to end, but that seems fair. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know where to go from here because I'm worried about like talking about his bullied past and he's going to start crying. And I don't want him to cry.
Yeah. It was mostly just by my sister, I think, that I got bullied.
Yeah.
But
no,
I do remember
everyone.
I do kind of remember being like an attention seek. You know, like when you would do like shows for you with your parents. But I just always remember them being like kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
Like I was when you asked me to be on the podcast, I was trying to think about it on the way here. And there was one that just sort of sticks out in my mind where it was like some family friends and we had like they had two sons who were like younger than me, but so confident, like the most confident, beautiful men you've ever seen in your entire life. And they always used to outshine me in every sort of way. And then one day they were like, we'll make a band, like let's do like a band that will show. And I was under the impression that this was like a joke band and we were going to sort of play air guitars and we were just going to like pretend to play, and it was mostly about like the showmanship.
Yeah, your mum's having coffee and then you go in and annoy
them. And we sort of bring them out, and it was like mostly about the showmanship and like the humour of it. And so we made this band. I thought it was the funniest thing in the whole world that our band was called Seriously Pissed. Because I was like eight and I just learned what pissed meant. I was like, this is really clever. Like the adults are really going to go for this.
So you thought it was pissed as in annoyed or pissed as in drunk?
As in drunk. Okay, like right. I was like, pissed, like that's like cool. Like that's like an adult thing. Yeah. And like the other guys didn't really get it. And I was like, the parents will get it. Like, don't you worry.
It's not all humor for us adults.
Yeah, exactly. And then like the adults came to watch the band and I was like, and our name is Seriously Pissed. and all the parents were just like, and it was my first death on stage, basically. It was so painful. They were just like, okay. And then we put on like a track and we all just started playing our instruments.
So you just did a cover?
Yeah. We just did a cover, of The Walls of Jericho, which was, Chris Jericho's like walk-in music. And then they actually started playing the instruments.
What?
And both their parents were like, oh, that's very good. You've really been practicing your guitar chords, haven't you? And I was like, hang on, I've been completely hung out to dry here. Like, I didn't realise you guys could actually play. I was just sort of like thrashing around, like doing this thing. And I think it really hurt my...
You got fucked over.
I really got fucked over, and I think it hurt my confidence with performing for a while after that.
If that happened to me, I don't think I'd audition for the school play or nativity or put myself out there for a while.
No, and I didn't until I was like a teenager. And that was why I was doing the lights for like the school performance. Sure. It was all about this kid in the year below me at my primary school. He was like...
He was like the talent.
He was like the best actor.
What
he was like,
no.
He was called Neil Few. Yeah. And it was like, and everyone was like, he's the talent. Like he was like the main part in all the school plays. It's like Neil.
What is he, 7 years old?
Yeah. And everyone was like, you gotta get Neil in this play.
It's a really talented person called Neil.
I mean,
there's loads of talented Neils. Neil Diamond, Neil Young, Neil O'Rourke, my friend, and comedian.
And a comedian, Neil O'Rourke.
Cannon.
Neil Buchanan.
Neil Armstrong.
Oh no, come on, that's not a talent.
Is that a talent?
Going on camera in a studio and pretending you're on the moon. Is that a talent?
It's the best acting job of all time.
You couldn't even see his face. That's what a bad actor he is. They put a helmet on him.
Oh, but Neil was like, he was like the guy. And I remember like, it was like a cult of Neil, our school, basically.
Yeah,
like,
serious.
Yeah, there was one that it always sticks in my mind, like one performance where Neil forgot his lines. And it was like the weirdest school play ever. It was like a mashup of two Gilbert and Sullivan numbers. It was like the Pirates of Penzance.
Seriously,
school. It was so my school was so weird. It was a mashup of the Pinafore Pirates and the Pirates of Penzance. No, was it? Yeah, Pirates of Penzance.
Rosie, you know what this reminds me of? Nish Kumar's episode where he was like, "We did Waiting for Godot when I was 12," and it was like, "What the fuck?
Yeah.
What school does Waiting for Godot?" Yeah.
But this was just like loads of kids in Hawaiian shirts with like flowers. Necklaces, and I just remember like one night Neil forgot his lines, and it was like the biggest drama ever.
Oh,
it was like everyone in the tech crew was like, "So he is human."
Yeah.
It was really like, and then it was like, and then it got to like the intermission, and we were like, "We gotta go check on Neil." Like he'd never, and when we went in, like the changing room was just like the boys' toilets at the school.
Yeah.
And when we went in, he'd ripped off his like flower necklace and threw him on the floor. And then, and we were all like so in awe of it. We're like, there's so much darkness raging inside Neil. Like, this is why he's such a good actor. And I remember him like looking at his reflection in the mirror and punching his face.
For forgetting lines of a primary school play.
Yeah, like he was crying and he was like, "I can't go back out there." And we all had to like talk him down. We were like, "Neil, you're the best actor in the school. Are you kidding me? Like, no one can close this show other than you, Neil."
Wait. Yeah. Can I Google him right now?
Oh,
he has to have gotten the eye.
He's dead now.
No,
he's
is he actually dead?
No, I don't know.
I really, really need to know where Neil is.
Jack.
Where he is, yeah. He changed his name to Robert Pattinson.
No!
I think he works in finance, actually. It's a real waste.
Jack, producer Jackie, who's in the other room, can you please Google Neil, is it Few?
Few, I think, yeah.
F-E-U?
F-E-W, I think. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sick as shit. And can you just let us know if he's done anything of interest? You can just WhatsApp me because my phone's on because I'm checking my Pokemon. Thank you.
How old will he be now?
He was a year younger than me, so he must be 31. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, works in Bloody Finance.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was what I heard.
I think there's something about it taking it so seriously, though, because I did the drama festival circuit as a kid. Like, you know, like pageant circuit, but like reading poetry.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, okay, yeah.
Did you do this? Were you in that
No,
South
absolutely
group?
Not. I was not that, no.
Yeah, there was no dignity to it.
Show when you were at...
I was going to talk about myself.
Yeah, see the thing is...
We've all heard it before.
On season 4 with... Fucking nerd.
Sorry, Rose,
you haven't heard me yet because I didn't get invited until season 4.
Oh, I got a message from Jackie. Nothing of interest.
Nothing of interest. And it's a shame. It's the world's loss, to be honest.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, when you were red tacky in your black...
Yeah.
At the back, were you ever tempted? Didn't you see Neil and go...
And I want that. I think I was like kind of in awe of it, yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely was like, that's cool. But I just didn't have much like self-belief. I still don't a lot. I talk to my therapist about it a lot. I genuinely do think it was like my parents kind of subtly, like my parents are very nice, supportive people. Yeah. But I think they were always terrified of encouraging me to do anything that would mean I go into a career in entertainment. Yeah. I remember my mum being like, don't encourage him.
Yeah.
You know, it was like stuff like that. Like if I ever told a joke, I remember like telling a joke once at a family event and it was like a crap joke that I'd heard. Mm. And my aunt was like, he belongs on the stage. And my mum was like no, don't say anything like that. It's still like my dynamic with my mum that every time I speak to her, it's like an ongoing joke. Every time I speak to her, she suggests a different job that I could do.
Does she actually? Because people like joke that the parents do that.
100% true. Like last week, it was I saw her for dinner last week and she said I could teach media at a university, which is what her brother, who's a failed musician, does.
Don't.
So, like, yeah.
But you're doing well.
Yes. Not well enough. Every time I speak to her, at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was like, we're all on lockdown now, and I was like, I don't know what to do with my... She suggested I be a nurse. And it was like,
no.
You honestly want me to go into danger?
No.
Yeah, it was like nursing.
This makes me worry. You actually killed that guitar gig. You did really well at it. Yeah. And they pretended you did badly so you wouldn't go into music. Yeah. Like, you might have been playing the air guitar, like, so fucking well they freaked out.
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. And then they were just, like, subtly undermining me so that I didn't go into it. I could have been a rock star.
So, I have that too. Literally, just now, just got a text from my friend's mum. My mum is so supportive, my friend's mum... literally was like, are you still trying performing?
Well, so she's undermining you, like not even your friends, just like undermining your career.
Like probably once a month she'll email me going, how are you? Are you?
Have you thought about something else?
I totally know what you mean. Because my mum, no pressure. She's super chill. Like, do what you want.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Yeah.
And like, my dad is saying, like, just chill, whatever, all great. And then like, some friends' parents, particularly when I first started doing stand-up, they were like, so have we been on TV yet? We're going to be on TV yet? It's like, well, no, is your daughter going to earn over 20 grand at some point?
It's like, I'm also bit of a writer and she's like fixated on that, so I get a big writing job and she's like, great, you don't need to perform,
you can give up on the performing now. Like, that's your calling.
It's
clearly
not overall.
Well, then how did this sweet little lad doing the spotlight in awe of Neil come on to be a performer? Like, at what point did you go, like, I want to try this?
At what point did that tech caterpillar become a performing butterfly?
Oh, my God, Rosie, that was fucking so cute.
Thank you.
Crawled into my cocoon of blacks and then shed them and came out with some... I think it was actually when I moved to Shanghai, like...
famously, you moved to Shanghai.
Moved to Shanghai.
A performer.
Yeah. It was purely that I couldn't speak Chinese yet, so I didn't understand the TV in China. And so my uncle and my granddad were both really into like British comedy, like classic comedy, TV comedy. And so then they just made me a pile of VHSs to take with me to China, and I would just watch them on repeat.
What shows?
Like, it was like, I mean, Blackadder and your sort of your Young Ones and your New Statesman and Monty Python and stuff like that. And then that would just sort of, I was like, oh, Harry Enfield and Chums as well. And like, and I was just obsessed with them. And I was like, oh, I want to do, how do I do that for a job? And so it was basically that. I just was obsessed with comedy. I, like most comedians, I think I was just a comedy nerd. And I was like, I'd like to do this. And it was like the classic thing. I said to my parents, like, how do I be a comedian? And they were like, my parents are very like, they have professional jobs. Yeah. Like my mum went to university and she studied psychology. And then she's been a psychologist for 40 years. Yeah. And my dad was good at maths. So he studied maths and now he's an accountant.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how do I do comedy? And they were like, well, you go to Cambridge and you join the Footlights. And then,
really? Is that what they said?
They were like, obviously you have to go to university. Okay. So they were like, the university comedy course is you do the Footlights.
Yeah. It kind of is, isn't it?
I mean, it basically is. Like, I think it is a big... But anyway, I was too thick to go to Cambridge, so I went to Leeds and joined the Tea Lights, which was their equivalent. that was my... so then... And that basically, I didn't really do any performing until... Until that. Until,
really? Yeah. So you just like skipped all of like school plays?
Yeah, just like, like I say, this I got burned by this one like experience when I was young. Yeah. Didn't really audition to any until I auditioned for The Boyfriend when I was about 15. Yeah. Couldn't sing for shit. And the music teacher laughed at me. Yeah. And so that was, I was like, are there any non-singing roles in this musical? Yeah. And he was like, yeah. Anyway, can you just sing this? Yeah. And then I sang it and he was like, okay. And then I was like, well, I'm never doing this again. And so then I left it until I was, and I sort of, but actually, when I was a teenager, I would make sort of silly videos in my room with my friends. Absolutely. Like, we would make like fake kung fu films and stuff, like on the trampoline. Right. We would do a lot of that. Like, we film like, we made a kung fu film once where we'd do like backflips on the trampoline.
Yeah.
And then one of us would speak to the camera, but one of our mates, we didn't know how to edit, so they would just stand off the screen and they would talk, so it looked like they'd been dubbed from another language.
Yeah.
And so we'd do stuff like that. And then one person would like kick someone and then they'd be like, no! And then someone else would spray ketchup on their face from off the screen, so it looked like they had blood on them.
Honestly, those films you make when you're kids are just so good, because you don't have any editing power.
Yeah.
So we thought you just filmed it straight through.
Yeah.
So it was a pause and then you start filming. There was editing.
Yeah.
But me and my friend were so obsessed with doing a cooking show and we would play Delia Smith and Angela Lawson and we'd do their voices and like all of that.
Yes.
But we would film the whole thing, including the bake time and the picking the recipe.
Yeah.
So to make a brownie, it would be about a 3-hour video of the two of us and like little Tammy t-shirts to say like little slut, Danny's little hooker. And we're like, Delia!
And you guys just sort of crouch by the oven and just watching it
and
really
then every now and
rise.
Again like, Mom, where's the baking tray?
Oh yeah, that's something like that was great. Although the only thing is I would make these videos as a character called Nick Loff, who was like a character
Loff.
He was like a Russian soldier who decided to be a catwalk model.
Yeah.
And so I'd make videos.
Wait, don't just say like that's normal. That's, like, you're agreeing like he's like, 2 + 2 = 4. Like, first name Nick, second name Love, or Nick Love?
Nick Love, like one word. Yeah. But the thing is, if you've ever had an email from me these days, for some reason, like I made like a YouTube channel for Nick Love when I was like a teenager, but for some reason it's still on my Yahoo account. It's linked to it somehow.
Stop it.
So
one second.
Even now, I'll email like producers of TV shows and they're like, who's Nick Loff? Why am I getting emails from Nick? And I don't know how to change it. I cannot change.
Oh my God, I think you took it off this one.
Really?
Yeah
it's on not the... on this email for the podcast.
Really?
Unless I've got to go on my computer.
Maybe I have
and look
discovered
it.
How, but it's because I said to you I was embarrassed that I've got this shitty Yahoo email. But added to that is that most of my emails come through from Nick Loff and everyone's like, and so you get sent like a call sheet for something and they're like, I don't know who Nick Loff is, but apparently Nick Loff is on this list of people who are going to be filming.
How far back Did you go with the backstory for Nicklaus?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. I only made like a few videos. This was like when I was just getting started. And then actually the first like ever live performance thing I think I did was when I was like 18, like last year of college. We had like a talent show at my school and me and my friends, it was so lame, but we were obsessed with Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh my God, yeah.
Tina!
Yeah. Tina! Yeah, Tina, yeah.
Wait, and you did the Forever Young dance?
Yes, there's a bit where he's in this club called the Happy Hands Club.
Yeah.
And it's a Bette Midler song called The Rose, and they do like a sort of sign language, like interpretation of it. So we learned that. And then it went into the Jamiroquai dance and we learned that too, and we all dressed up as him. And we used to have a video of it, but we lost it. We didn't win the talent show and we were all very upset. It was the hardest we'd ever worked on anything. This girl called Megan just played the piano and they were like, and they had like,
come on.
It was like, it wasn't even like the best.
Yeah.
They had like different categories.
Okay, you can't calm down. You're screaming
I'm
right now.
I'm actually still furious.
Megan won it because she played the piano. Take a deep breath.
They had like the best thing. And there was like this band in our year who were pretty cool and they were actually pretty good. So we were like fine. But then they had most unique talent.
Yeah.
And Megan wins playing the bloody piano. And we're like, that's not unique. Yes. Hundreds of people play the piano. Yeah. How many people learned the Bette Midler sign language dance? That's unique. Not Megan's bloody
piano.
It's
amazing how upset you still are.
Yeah, I didn't. Really, I haven't thought about it for a few years.
For the listener's benefit, Jack leant forward. Yeah. He's shaking his legs.
I've gone red.
Do you actually
I'm sweating, I think, at the thought of it, the injustice.
I'm sure Megan deserved it.
But
also, where's she now?
Also, you
What's
did.
Her name?
I can't remember.
Also, Markle. Also, you did rip it from a Hollywood
Well, that's true.
Movie, so true. I'm a bit like, how unique.
Yeah, that's
is
very
it
true. We
really?
Literally did. We literally copied it. Yeah, that's true.
And we know you had an imagination because of the air guitars. You could think of a funny name because of your band, Pissing.
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously Pissed.
Seriously Pissed.
Because it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, if you could have any job, any talent, what would you do?
Yeah, rock star, some sort of rock star, I think. Just like being in a band with your best mate and you go and you record it in like a studio and then you go on tour.
Yeah.
I do think that's because that's the only real downside of comedy is that it's sometimes a bit lonely just when you're on the road.
Oh,
like,
are you lonely, Jay?
I'm very lonely. That's why I started, genuinely doing improv. Yeah. I was on my way back from a gig in Hull and I was on the train on my own. I was reading Amy Poehler's book.
Yeah.
And in Amy Poehler's book, she's like, improv's the best. Yeah, I love her. And she's like, improv's the best. It's just you and your friends in a van. And I was like, I wish I had friends. And then I signed up for an improv course like the next week. But yeah, I think being some sort of musician would be great.
I think it's also that thing of like smashing a joke does feel great.
Yeah.
But smashing a song with everyone singing it with you.
Yeah.
And like
being
in the moment. Because like I have never seen a show that has moved me as much as like Alexandra Burke's cover of Hallelujah. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that she did that in 3 minutes.
Oh,
I know.
Also, being a musician pitches.
Because
all you need to do is write like 3 songs.
That's true.
And then you just tour those.
Do that forever. Yeah, you don't have to churn out a new hour every year.
Like,
that's very true.
Just get rich and buy them off other people like Sia and Jessie J. Miley Cyrus, All Eyes Are On You.
Yeah.
I do still love her though, she's great.
Like Mariah Carey, like All I Want For Christmas just live off that now.
She's dined off that forever, hasn't she?
And she's earned it.
And she's earned it. I just think there's something, it's something more universal about it as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love the idea that, you know, you could go to Tokyo and do a gig there to all your Japanese fans, whereas, like, because what we do is so specific to English, you can't really do it in other countries in quite the same way.
And not to make it too specific to get back to the theme of the podcast, but I will because it is important because we respect our listeners.
Segway alert. Segway.
It was like a backpedal.
But like, I wanted attention when I was at school, and like getting people to laugh and being funny and goofy obviously worked and was fun enough.
Yeah.
But I remember like the kids who could sing. Wasn't so much at our school, though. Wasn't like a really musical person that everyone freaked out about. But at college, there was this, she was so annoying. Her name was like, God, and the housemate slags her off all the time. What was it? Oh,
bleep!
And she would just hold your hand randomly and just burst into song.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the fuck? And it did sound good.
And you would have one tear rolling down your cheek as you started holding her hand in the
because
playground.
It was so fucking amazing. And there was another girl in my year at college called
bleep.
So many Carters.
No relation.
No relation, but there was 1,500 per year group. Yeah. So there was a lot of us. So there was a lot of Carters. Okay.
Sean Carter.
Which one's Sean Carter?
Backstreet Boy?
And Jay-Z.
Oh, Jay-Z. Oh, yeah, that's Jay-Z. Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, yeah. No, Nick Carter was in the Backstreet Boys, wasn't he?
Amen.
I never claimed to know anything about rap music.
Sean Carter is just...
But you want to...
Let's go back to school.
Okay.
How were you with the ladies?
Real bad with the ladies at school. Yes.
Did you ever like use attention or do something to get those little ladies?
No. I don't think so. I think it was because I didn't sort of develop it until I was sort of later on in life. I mean, I lost my virginity when I was at university, so that might tell you all you need to know. It was only when I got to university that I sort of really figured out that I was funny and that you can use that as a way to make yourself more attractive to people.
Oh, please tell me you didn't stop just trying to get in their eye line. I really hope you kept that same tactic. I'll just hang around her, I guess, until it works.
I mean, if you're doing that for pulling, it's got different vibes.
You just followed them around until they were like, are you my boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, that's
people do that, and it's not on. But
why are you looking at me when you said that? Like, it's not on. I've only done it twice to two different guys, and both times it was funny. Apart from the one that I got his work schedule for, so I could like be there at the right time.
Really?
And even though I didn't think it was that funny.
I was just focused. I do that.
Yeah, Rosie is the worst. Oh my god.
Again, but it's fine. You guys are women. You can do it. It's all right.
I don't know.
Honestly,
if
the tide's gonna change.
The day where I made Helen sit and show her theater for 3 hours.
Whilst I was crying.
Why?
I had anxiety and I was not having a nice day. I was having a really bad time. And Rosie made me sit and show her theater 3 hours just in case she ran into someone she fancied. And I was just sitting there crying, I want to go. I don't like it here. And she was like, I'll let you know when we can go. 3 hours later, I was like, please.
Which I did.
Because you spotted someone that you liked.
Who walked straight up the stairs, didn't see anything, didn't say hello, and then she was like, we can go now. And I was like, okay.
It was horrible.
Oh, so you didn't want to chat them up, you just wanted to spy them?
Just a stare.
Oh, fine.
She wanted to see you.
Like your old school pervert.
You knew who it was going to be. It was a specific person.
I knew she was going into her theatre on that day.
Checked what shows were opening, and obviously Soho Tech's from about midday one-ish. So she'll be going in at some point. Let's just put Helen here and she can wait. She waits by herself, she looks like a freak, right? She waits with Helen, doesn't she, just having a meeting.
Crying Helen.
Oh, look, there's big crying Helen in the bar again.
So if you're sitting with someone who's crying, then it looks fine.
So that's normal.
We're all bad people.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah. I think you are like not an, a massive attention seeker, because it sounds like the things you were doing, which are quite creative performing, you kind of kept to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
well, I'm proud of you for coming so far out your shell, babes.
I'm trying. But like, yeah, like I say, it's genuinely like a thing that I talk about in therapy now, is that I don't feel... Yeah. I just often feel like I don't feel like I've got anything that interesting to say.
And you know what? Because we're going to stop you feeling like that right now. Because guess who's here for you?
My mum?
Okay.
Neil, for you.
You're on a podcast called Daddy Love.
Daddy!
Okay, there we go. Fucking hell!
Are we ready for Daddy?
Yeah, we've been waffling on way too long. This is why I'm trying to wrap it up.
I'm here.
You can't call him Jackie because we call producer Jackie Jackie.
Jackie Barry.
That's cute, Jackie Barry.
Same.
Yeah. Jackie Barry. Hello.
Hello.
I'm here, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
And we're gonna go on a day trip.
Okay.
And what we're gonna do is Helen.
Yeah. I'm actually gonna put myself out there that I don't wanna come on this, because I genuinely think he needs like the love and support. What he has to have said. So I don't want to come on the day trip. I think he needs your one-on-one time.
Okay.
I think he needs that support.
Is this unusual for the podcast?
Yeah. I want to come on the day trip with Daddy, but I'm not into it.
Most times I don't want Helen to come, but
the real force of a personality.
She insists.
Like that I can get from her not coming.
We're going to talk after this, because we are being nasty to each other and I don't like it.
We're gonna put on a show.
Okay.
Old school. You are tech.
Okay, yeah, fine.
And Neil, of course, is elite.
He's gotta be, yeah. You're mad not to.
We're putting on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
The musical.
I love it.
Who's your favourite turtle?
Who's my favourite? I used to like Michelangelo, because he was like the wacky one. He was like a bit fun, wasn't he?
So, Michelangelo is elite. He got all the lines. He got all the comedy.
Yeah.
And that, of course...
Of course, is Neil.
...is being played by Neil. Yeah. Because why would it not?
Yeah.
So, the show starts and they're doing that opening number... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The titular song.
Called We Are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And we hear the first few bars. And Neil.
No.
Shits himself.
No. It wouldn't happen.
He can't do
He's
it.
He's a pro.
And Neil goes he full black swan.
He sits down and they say, you know what, I'm not cut out for this. And cut out for a career in... finance and cut out for the life where when you Google my name, you find fuck off.
In quotation, nothing of importance.
Nothing of importance.
Nothing of importance. But his last words.
What, is he dying?
I think he's dying in Rosie's fantasy.
Before leaving the career and that team behind him is, I can't do it. I can't do it. Jack Barry can.
I am so moved right now.
You hear it from their back. And
everyone's like, who?
In some way, you are obvious in you because you're actually doing the tech in the Michelangelo outfit.
Always prepared.
I was just ready to go, yeah. Just in case.
Ready to go.
Everyone said it wouldn't happen. Not for you. No. He'll perform through anything.
Nothing. Wild horses can't drag Neil off stage.
He opened comedy clubs in New York the night of 9/11. He can do anything.
No, honestly, he's gone.
Wow.
It's your night. Every line lands.
Such as that famous opening line to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cowabunga!
Cowabunga! Cowabunga! Cowabunga! Standing ovation, it's incredible. I'm so proud. You're happy. Everyone's so enjoyed it. And you carry on to Broadway and
transfer straight from Surrey primary school to Broadway.
And you carry on a career in comedy, but now you're known as Jack Michelangelo Barry.
I take that.
That is like the weirdest day out ever.
Helen!
We're not, I honestly not fighting with you. I just said it was weird.
Why is it weird?
You know, if we fight, we're upsetting Jack.
I have no idea how this bit normally goes.
Not like this.
As far as I'm aware, this is exactly the same as how this podcast always ends.
Whereas, usually I say it, and Jack, you've acted the right way of going, thank you, Daddy. Helen, it's normally like, yeah, that was a good.
Don't tell me what I'm normally like. Don't tell me what I'm normally like.
Why do you think
fucking
that's
raise your hand
wrong?
And voice to me. Fucking scream in my face.
That, why is that wrong?
I'm not saying anything. I don't know why you're looking at me like that.
I've never been on a podcast that ended in a falling out.
We're
before.
Not falling out. Oh. We're not having a falling out.
Well, I'm falling out with both of you. That's
okay,
what
well,
I was
thank you for coming on. Can you tell us your Instagram and Twitter handles?
Is that what I say now?
Yeah. Oh, but we'd like, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm on Twitter at @jbasler.
Boom.
Great.
And I'm on Instagram at @IamJackBarry.
Great. And you are Jack
yeah. And come and see my website. I've just designed a new website.
Sick.
Which I was pleased with, which is jackbarry.co.uk.
And obviously we'll be tagging Jack in pictures on our Instagram and we'll be sharing his episodes. So there's links to his on both me and Rosie's social media channels.
Yeah.
But do follow him. He is a fucking phenomenal comic. And
if
you get
Google
a chance
me,
to see him live, go.
I'm not like Neil Few where if you Google my name, nothing interesting comes up. I'm actually, apparently there was like a famous TV quiz show host in the States in the 50s called Jack Barry.
No.
So if you Google Jack Barry, he comes up first. So I'm hoping that enough people Google me, then I can kill him. And I'll be the one true.
Oh, wow, yeah, that
they paid three
girls.
Oh, yes.
In my life. So now when you Google Rosie Jones, you get me first.
So
oh,
good.
You do? I definitely remember Googling the other Rosie Jones when I was a young boy, I think. Definitely. Yeah.
But now, I'm the leader, not her.
You've superseded her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're plugging Jack when our Rosie's shown off. Right, we're going to go for a walk and a chat. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming
thank
on, Jack.
You both.
Bye.
Carabunga.
The Carabunga dude.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
So cute. It's me, Rosie Jones, from the Paul
look at Stanley, look at me. So, I saw you last night at a gig, and can I say your dress looked great. Moving on. Me and Helen were just thinking...
Helen and I.
You're not meant to be.
We're doing the call together.
You're
hi,
on the phone. So, Helen, who's here? Helen and I were wondering if you wanted to come on our podcast to talk about Little Sakisa. What was she like? What were her problems? So, call me back. Come to our socially distance studio and we'll have a lovely chat. Cool? Cool. Say bye, Helen.
Bye, Twix.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Deleted.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.